All right, you guys can start turning to Matthew 6 this morning. Matthew, the 6th chapter. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about taking risks and getting out of our comfort zones. And a lot of that, I think, is God is wanting us to get out and interact with those around us. And I believe He's preparing us already for interacting with people who are different than we think. Different than the way we think that they will be like, even. The way we think they should look. The way we think they should walk or talk or act. And one of the things that we're going to start realizing is that we're going to encounter people who have been hurt by the church in the past. We have to be cautious about the spirit of offense. Good-meaning Christians have been taken captive by the stronghold. I would say this is something that God's been speaking to me for a couple of months now, just kind of little things here and there, and even talking with some other people. The spirit of offense and unforgiveness holds people captive. And sometimes people hurt us as they leave and get offended as well. Sometimes we need to look at it from both sides, though, and realize how easy it is to fall into that trap of unforgiveness that the enemy sets for us. So we're talking about unforgiveness this morning. One of the very tenets of faith that we have is that we are forgiven by God, and we must pass that forgiveness on to others as well. We're going to start a scripture in verse 9 of Matthew 6. It's a very familiar verse. It's a very familiar passage. But let me say something about it before we start reading. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Not to give them something to say out of memory, something to say with just internalizing it and being able to repeat it out of repetition. I remember having meals over at one of my friends' houses growing up, and every meal they would basically say the model prayer, and they would recite it as a family. And it was great they knew Scripture. I didn't know the Lord at the time, but I could tell you what it was just from being around it. But one of the incredible things is right before this, in this passage, Jesus even said, "Do not fall into doing vain repetitions like some others do." It's intended to be a model prayer, one to realize that Jesus' prayers encompassed a lot. That's a whole other teaching for another day, but I just wanted to mention it here. So Matthew 6, starting in verse 9. "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Focusing in on verse 12 there. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Jesus understood us. He knew that it was going to be hard for us to embrace forgiveness. This is reminding ourselves as much as it is us talking to God. Asking Him to forgive us, but understanding that it's also contingent on us forgiving others as well. We have a loving Father who loves us so much, He forgave us. Continues in verse 14 here, "For if you can forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So, trespass in the Greek is paratimoa. And it is a lapse or deviation from truth and uprightness, a sin, a misdeed. We have got to be giving grace to those around us. See, immediately following that whole model prayer, Jesus specifically targets in on this. It's important for us to realize and recognize that we need to live a life of forgiveness. We need to let grace abound. Jesus specifically warned us that if we don't forgive others, our Father won't forgive us. Remember here, we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And when we did that, we were grafted into His family. And since we're grafted into His family, we have access to everything a family member would. We have full access to forgiveness because of Jesus. We need to recognize that we need to move in forgiveness. Jesus had warned us that offenses would come, that it's impossible for offenses not to come. A sweet answer in love is far better than anything without love. Luke 17, starting in verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves if your brother sins against you. Rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." In Matthew, they ask if they should forgive him seven times in a day. And there, Jesus would reply, not just seven, but seven times 70 in a day. Now, I've told you guys in the past that I'm a nerd. I like numbers here. 7 times 70 is 490 times. 490 times in a day. Okay, so now here's a little bit more math. Stick with me. So 24 hours in a day, 60 minutes in an hour. That's 1,440 minutes. 1,440 minutes in a day. So if you take the amount of minutes in a day and divide them by that 490 times to forgive, that means that even if your brother sinned against you and asked for forgiveness, every 3 minutes, that's less than 3 minutes actually, I think it's like 2.98 or something like that. But so less than 3 minutes, that's a lot. And we're still supposed to forgive them that much. And that's just assuming if you pulled an all-nighter with them for a full 24 hours. But regardless, it's obvious that we need to walk in forgiveness. We need to try to pay attention to what we were doing or saying and not bring that offense, though, also. Even when we don't intend to offend people, we have the possibility of offending them. It's not a license to just get people wound up and say, "Well, I'm speaking the truth." If they get mad because how I told it, well, that's on them. No, we're responsible for the things we say. Ephesians 4 and verse 31. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, as God in Christ forgave you." Now continuing in 5:1, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." We should imitate God. God's so willing to forgive us, we should imitate Him, though. We should be demonstrating that forgiveness as we go about our daily walk. People should see that we are able to work it out with our brothers and sisters. Sometimes we might get to thinking, well, you just don't know what they did to me. I just can't forgive them. And you're right. Sometimes you can't forgive them on your own. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to work within you to heal that hurt. To heal that unforgiveness you're holding on to. To remove that pain that it brings you. You might not be able to forget about it. But God is able to forgive and forget our sins if we repent. We should be wanting to give forgiveness to others also. We shouldn't have a desire to have a wedge between us. We can't have a sour attitude. God wants us to have peace with our brothers and sisters. We should strive for peace, as it says in Hebrews 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people in holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. That root of bitterness jumps out at me there. There's one thing that I learned about roots. They go deep. Probably about a year ago, I had a tractor at my house with a backhoe on it. And I decided, I'm going to go ahead and try to dig up some stumps. Yeah. I'll say, even with heavy machinery, even with a power shovel, it took a while to dig up those stumps. And I was fighting this one stump for a little while there. And God started showing me things about roots and how intertwined they are and how much they stretch out and how deep they try to go. They go in every direction. They don't come out easily. And just when you think you've got everything freed up, you've got that taproot that goes straight down and it just wants to be even more of a bear. A lot of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about here. That's why we got to have grace. Because otherwise that root of bitterness can start to sink in and take hold and cause trouble. We can take a lesson from Paul here in Acts 24, verse 16. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and men. Both God and man. This is something we can draw inspiration from. Paul knew the grace both of God and of man. He received so much grace. I mean, he was persecuting all these Christians for their faith. And then he turned around and Holy Spirit got a hold of him. And he knew that he had to get so much grace from man as well. He knew it so much he would try not to offend. Even though Paul was very bold in how he spoke, he would so often do it in a way to avoid offense. He did not shy away from grace one bit. When we're offended, that is prime breeding ground for deception. Deception starts coming in and we start telling ourselves that anything that somebody that offended us does, well, how they say something, how they look at us, what they do, that it means far more than it actually is. When we're mad, something as simple as just somebody scrunching their nose to get their glasses to walk up a little bit, you think that they're making a face at you. Offended hearts look for more things to get frustrated at. When we start to nitpick, we might be missing out on God's pick. Sometimes we're offended over something small, and the other person has absolutely no clue that you upset them. We let that fester inside of us, and it's eaten away at us. It does absolutely nothing to them. You are letting that torment yourself, not the other person that was did whatever it was. That's why it tells us in Matthew 18 to go to our brother or sister and try to work it out amongst yourselves first. But we need to do it in love. I've seen this happen before. When somebody says that they forgive you for what they did, or for what you did, but the way they tell it, you hardly feel the forgiveness in it. They come up to you and say, you did this and this and this, but I forgive you. I'm over it. You can hardly hear the forgiveness in that. No, we got to do it in love. Go, hey, dude, you know when you were talking about this last week? I took it as you were calling me out on this. I took it as you were speaking directly to me and what I was going through. That hurt. Try to do it in love. Because they may not even realize what they said. And so with what's going on up in here with me, my words do not come out the way they sound in my head. I can tell you that right off the bat. Sounds very straightforward, and then it comes out, and somebody's looking at you like, what are you talking about? But forgiveness builds us up and heals us within. Wounds don't heal overnight, too. If they aren't treated correctly, they won't heal at all. If we keep picking scab, it's never going to completely heal. Now, I'll go ahead and tell on myself before Ashley tells you guys this story during during cake. I'll say, I'm bad about picking scabs when I've got stuff healing. I'll say, I'll pick at it, and it takes longer to heal. I'll pick at it, it takes longer to heal. I just did that recently, too, so. But, what's that? Yeah. Well spoken. Maybe I'm speaking to the young guys. Oh, let me get this thing back on the rails, maybe. But like with wounds in the natural, that also happens with our feelings and emotions as well. The more people keep bringing something up, the harder it is for that to heal. The more the past wrongs keep getting brought up, even after you've talked about it and you've prayed through it, it's that much harder to heal. The old you is gone. We're not who we used to be. If someone falls back into that and asks for forgiveness, we are to forgive them. If we're hurt by someone else, whether another believer or not, pray for them. We shouldn't be wishing harm on anybody. Wishing that someone would have issues, wishing someone would have problems, even people in the government. I'll say, even with this last election, we should still be praying for the people that were elected. Not wishing harm on them. I saw a lot of that on Facebook. Sometimes I wonder if I should even have gotten Facebook again. But we shouldn't be wishing harm on any of them. We should be praying for their success. Should be praying for their heart. We should be praying that whatever they set their hand to prospers. Praying for open doors, for conversations to talk about what it is that's going on. If we leave it to ourselves, we can usually get worked up. We can start letting it get to us and focus on the hurt or the offense. But it's hard to stay frustrated or mad at someone when you start praying for them. I had somebody that I used to work with that would drive me nuts. He would make false accusations against me, telling people that I'm worthless, trying to get me demoted, trying to get things assigned to me that he was supposed to be doing. And I would start praying for him, and a lot of that hurt would go away. A lot of that frustration would go away. Even though he didn't want to talk to me about it, I would still pray for him. And then I had a peace through it all as well. There's a story of two brothers who lived on adjoining farms, and they fell into conflict after 40 years of working together. It began with a small misunderstanding, but it grew to a major difference. And it finally exploded in an exchange of bitter words, followed by weeks of silence. One morning, there was a knock on the older son's door. He opened it to find a man with a carpenter's toolbox. "I'm looking for a few days' work," he said. "Perhaps you would have a few small jobs here and there that I could help with." "Yes," he said, "I do have a job for you. Look across the creek at that farm. That's my younger brother. Last week, there was a meadow between us, but he took his bulldozer and dug a creek between us. I'm going to do him one better. See that pile of old lumber? I want you to build an 8-foot-high fence between us so I can't see his farm or his face anymore." The carpenter said, "Show me the nails and the tools, and I'll do a good job for you." The older brother went to town for the day. When he returned at sunset, his eyes opened wide and his jaw dropped. There was no fence at all. Instead, the carpenter had built a bridge stretching from one side of the creek to the other, handrails and all. His younger brother came towards them with an outstretched hand. "You're quite the guy," he said. "After all I've said and done," the two brothers met in the middle and shook each other's hand. When they saw the carpenter leaving, they said, "Wait, stay a few days. We have other projects for you." "I'd love to," the carpenter said, "but I have many more bridges to build." Doesn't make sense to not put up a fence at all, to not build a wall between us. Unforgiveness does not hurt the one who hurts you. It only hurts ourselves. It eats away at us inside. It puts us in our own prison. It leads way to bitterness and hatred, and it starts blocking God's ability to work in our life. Jesus came for reconciliation, blasting right through unforgiveness. On the cross, even, when the guards were fighting over his clothes, casting lots for it, he asked for the Father to forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Jesus sets people free. Ricky reminded us of this word last week in Luke 4:18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty all those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus came to set people free of the jail of offense, the prison of unforgiveness. People oppressed by the spirit of offense. We used to sing a song, "Break Every Chain." Jesus has already broken those chains, including the chains of unforgiveness. We've been talking a lot lately about opening and closing doors. When we start walking in forgiveness, it does exactly that. It will close a door that the enemy has been using a long time. You might be thinking, but Pastor John, I haven't been allowing the enemy to do that at all. Here's some signs, though, that you might not realize that you actually do have unforgiveness and you didn't realize it. Have you ever been talking to someone and a name gets brought up and it was someone who hurt you? And then all kinds of things start racing through your head, thinking about what all they've done. Get you talking about them, get you bringing it all back up, getting you worked up about it. One of the things with small town Rochester here, you might even run into that person while you're out doing your errands. You might be at the grocery store and you see them down an aisle and you purposely avoid the aisle. You might turn and head back the other way. Pretend like you didn't even notice them. That is the enemy trying to get in there and have you avoid reconciliation with them. Sometimes we need to realize that some of the things that we get upset with are over the smallest of things. Just like it said in that story with the two brothers, it started with a small misunderstanding. We need to ask ourselves some questions. Is it important to the kingdom? Now, don't get me wrong, we're not supposed to be somebody's doormat. But sometimes we need to realize that small things are small things. That having somebody else stumble because of a difference, sometimes it's just a personal preference. What time we start? What type of music we sing? Sometimes it's just a small thing that can drive such a big wedge. We can also ask ourselves if we're willing to let that unforgiveness control us. When we're holding on to the offense, it's controlling us. Those feelings that flood in when we hear that person's name, it's controlling us. We have the ability to take charge over our own lives. We tell the girls this all the time, that we have control over our emotions. Someone making you mad is not enough of a reason for you to do what you are trying to do to get even with them. It's not what can be done to justify any actions. Blaming others does not change the fact that we have authority and control over our own bodies. Blaming something just keeps it in control over you and creating the jail that your feelings are in. Remember what happened with Adam and Eve when they ate of the fruit in the garden. Adam first blamed Eve, and then he blamed God for giving him Eve. And Eve blamed the serpent. And sure, the serpent may have suggested it, but at the end of the day, it was their own decisions. We have control over our emotions. We don't let our emotions control us. God wants us to be in unity. I believe it's Psalm 133 where it says, "There is a place of commanded blessing where brethren in unity dwell." God wants us to be in unity. And that's why that is one of the things that the enemy wants to destroy, is unity. The enemy wants to sow strife and division. But we can walk in forgiveness. We can walk in forgiveness. We can have forgiveness be a lifestyle for us. Jesus came for forgiveness. He gave us forgiveness. And we can give that forgiveness out as well. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for recognizing the spirit of offense, God. Lord, help us realize if we have offended those in the past, God. Forgive us for offending them, Lord. Lord, lay it on our heart if there is somebody that we need to call up or talk to and ask if they would forgive us, Lord. Lord, we also pray to walk in forgiveness as well. Lord, I know we struggle with forgiveness a lot. Lord, strengthen us through your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us by your power to walk in forgiveness. Lord, take the hurt that we may have been hurt in the past. Lord, we don't want anything to come between us and our brothers, Lord. Lord, help us realize your spirit in this all, God. Lord, we thank you for walking victoriously, that we are not held captive to offense, God, that we are not held captive to what the enemy is trying to do. Lord, we speak forth that authority this morning. We take authority over our own lives, God. Lord, you have given us full control over that. And we thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.